Welcome to the Besties with Breasties podcast. Sarah Hall here. I am a certified health and wellness coach, athletic trainer, mom, and breast cancer survivor. I help women overcome their own mind drama to make mind shifts that open up the possibility for their most empowered and energetic life.
And I am Beth Wilmus, author, speaker, and founder of a human investment organization, otherwise known as a nonprofit, called Faith Through Fire. Our mission is to reduce the fear and anxiety that breast cancer patients feel and replace it with hope and a path toward thriving.
This podcast is about our experiences with breast cancer
and life after as young survivors and moms. All right, we're talking about one of your favorite subjects.
Oh, I love exercise.
I know you do. And I wish I did.
I mean, like, you like to go for a walk. That is exercise.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, that's very relevant to what we're going to talk about today, because we're going to talk about our relationship to exercise and our thought processes around it. So right. There's a book called No Sweat, and we're going to be talking to the author, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But there was something really interesting in it. It was a scale. So I'm going to do this with you. On a scale of 1 to 5, with 1 being exercise is a chore to accomplish, and 5, exercise being a gift you give yourself, which number best describes you?
Well, you're just saying in general. In general, I think number 5. Yeah. But I have days where it is more of like a 3.
Okay.
Like, still, it's not the same every day.
You're not a 1, which is where I sit all the time. A chore to accomplish is what exercise has become for me. And it wasn't always that way. I used to look at it as something that I looked forward to doing to manage my stress and just like clear my head. And out of boredom, I'd be like, oh, let's go for a run. But over time and with more of life stressors, that relationship to exercise has changed. So if you are like me and you're kind of on the 1 side, this podcast is going to be for you. You know, it's like if you feel discouraged, you've come to dislike being physically active. I think today's episode is going to be really relevant.
Sure.
So today we're going to talk to Dr. Michelle Seeger, a behavioral sustainability scientist, health coach, and author of the best-selling book, No Sweat: How the Simple Science of Motivation Can Bring You a Lifetime of Fitness.
Dr. Seeger has spent nearly 3 decades studying the science of motivation and behavior change. She's the director of the University of Michigan's Sport, Health, and Activity Research and Policy Center, and her work has been featured in major media outlets like the New York Times, NPR, and the Wall Street Journal.
Yeah, so through her research, coaching, and writing, she helps people reframe their relationship with physical activity, self-care, and sustainable well-being.
In this episode, we're diving into key insights from No Sweat and how her approach can help all of us create lasting, feel-good habits that support our real lives.
Yeah. So today we're going to talk about why our motivation to exercise backfires.
Movement as a form of immediate self-care.
Yep. And developing a motivation mindset for long-term change.
But before we do that, let's hear from our first sponsor.
Are you feeling scared, overwhelmed, or lost post-treatment? Do you want to reclaim your life and thrive even better than before breast cancer? Faith Through Fire Survivorship Bootcamp is designed for breast cancer survivors who are committed to living their fullest lives. If you're ready to leap forward, seize personal growth, and redefine your journey, this bootcamp will provide the path. You might benefit from our bootcamp if the excitement of completing treatment has worn off, leaving you feeling unsure about your future. You feel confused by your new post-cancer identity and struggle to accept your quote, new normal. You want to enjoy life again, but feel stuck in a cycle of negative emotions. Or you feel disconnected from yourself, others, or God. Our bootcamp offers a structured roadmap that delves deep into 4 key areas crucial for post-cancer recovery and thriving: understanding trauma, cultivating a fighting spirit, managing anxiety and intrusive thoughts, and redefining and reshaping your identity so you can rediscover your joy and purpose in life. You can participate in person in St. Louis or online. To join our wait list, visit faiththroughfire.org/survivorship-bootcamp. Hi, Dr. Seeger. How are you? Thank you for being here today.
It's such a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Well, I want to jump right in. We all know the benefits of exercise. You get better sleep, you have more energy, less depression, greater longevity. But unused gym memberships are like, what, 67%?
Good Lord.
So there's obviously a disconnect from doing the thing that we know brings us so many benefits. And you actually did a study at one point on reducing anxiety and depression among breast cancer patients. Can you share a little bit about that?
Sure. And that study is actually what got me into this whole field a whole 31 years ago. So we were just looking to see if people, now these were patients who had gone through surgery 4.5 years before. So they, I think except for maybe one person, most people were not in treatment in any way, shape, or form, 4.5 years out living, you know, their lives. And we were looking to see if exercise could reduce depression and anxiety among these survivors. And that was what we set out to do. Our paper was one of the first published on the psychological benefits of exercise for cancer survivors. But part of our study design was to call the survivors back about 3 months after the study ended. And, you know, I forgot to mention that we had found that the exercise, in fact, did reduce depression and anxiety symptoms. But what was really impactful to me was what we found out in the focus groups. And the first thing we found out speaks to what you just said, which was that almost everyone stopped exercising, even though they knew that it was beneficial to them. And I got very curious and I asked, well, why did you stop exercising? And people, you know, they exercised throughout our study, right? So this was a very different experience to find out that they had stopped. And I said, well, why did you stop? And they're like, oh, Michelle, I have families, I work, I have aging parents, I have this, that, and the other. And what became very clear to me was that these people had not stopped exercising because they were cancer survivors. They had simply stopped exercising because they were busy adults living their lives. But the real kicker for me was if people who had already faced a life-threatening illness did not feel comfortable or have the skill set to prioritize their own self-care through physical activity, then this was a cultural and societal problem, and I said, this is my problem, and I'm going to solve it. And so I've spent the past 31 years aiming to solve it.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think you touch on something that it's so interesting to me and Sarah and so many survivors. It's like if a life-threatening illness isn't enough to get you off the couch and into a gym or just be more active, what is? And we, right. I think I've spoken about that before, is that we had a patient, she was like, she's living with cancer stage 4. And she said to me once that, you know, before I became stage 4, I always said that that's what it would take in order for me to eat right and be healthy and to do exercise. And then she goes, but then I became stage 4 and I still didn't do it. And I thought, wow, that's so interesting. And to your point, that's such a, you're right. Now it shifts from, okay, why is the motivation for exercise backfiring? And it's so beyond disease, it's more societal in nature. So what did you do with that information?
Right. Well, you know, I don't remember if you found out about me through my first book, No Sweat or Not, but, you know, the process that I went through to figure out what was going on, I, you know, describe in the book. And one of the things that is very, it's not counterintuitive, but it's not included in a lot of approaches to help anyone try to stick with exercise. And let's just be very clear that we're not talking about starting to exercise. We're not talking about exercising. We are talking about sustaining it for the rest of your life. And that's been what I've focused on specifically for 31 years. And you know, there are a couple of primary reasons that will circle back to the cancer survivors, but one of the reasons is that at its very essence, exercise is a, I'm going to put in air quotes, which you won't be able to see, a self-care behavior. And in society, doing things for self-care, we haven't learned that that's essential to our health and well-being. So that's one of the big problems. And so in essence, if you just try to exercise without addressing this underlying issue of, you know, is my own self-care and well-being worthy of carving out time from all the other important people and projects I have, if you can't say yes to that question, there it goes out the window. So that's part of
what you're saying is like, what is your relationship to exercise? Kind of like, you know, money coaches will tell you, find out what your relationship to money, what is your history with money? How do you think about it? How did you grow up? What are these ideas? What are they based in? Because you
actually, let me just interrupt you for a sec, because what you're doing is you're pointing to the other core reason. So I would say that what you're suggesting, rather than relating to the self-care issue, is about, like you said, people's relationship with exercise. And that's a separate issue because that has to do with people's reasons for trying to exercise and how they try to exercise. So I have this formula called MAPS that came out of all the research I did on what's everything that's getting in people's way. And meaning is the first part of MAPS. And your meaning of exercise, which also is completely tracks with the relationship you have with exercise, is first and foremost about why are you trying to exercise? Are you trying to exercise as a way to boost your mood, renew yourself, take care of yourself, or you're trying to exercise to lose weight or because your doctor told you you should? And I can tell you those last two reasons are motivation killers. So the reasons we have for exercising really determine, is exercise a chore or a gift? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it does. How do you shift people's mindset then from that of a chore to a gift? Because we talked about it before you hopped on that, you know, on your scale in your book, No Sweat, you know, with one being it's a chore and five being it's a gift to yourself, Sarah leans toward it's a gift to myself. Whereas I'm like, I used to feel that way when I was younger and less busy, to your point. And now it's become something that's been relegated to a chore that I know I should do, but don't want to do. Right. And so how do you change your relationship, or I say relationship, but how do you change your mindset around it as a gift when it doesn't feel like it when you're doing it?
That gets to the second part of MAPS, which is awareness of the experiences you're having while you're exercising. And let me just tell you, we exercise in a way in order to achieve the goals we have for exercising or our whys. And, you know, from reading the book, you know, there are right whys and wrong whys, and the wrong whys are exercising to lose weight or to, you know, to follow, you know, to fulfill your other people's expectations of what you should be doing. And those are very traditional reasons for exercise that, again, we've learned in society. So here we are back at the societal problem. And we've also learned in society to exercise really hard, to get our heart rate up, to burn those calories, et cetera. And research shows that when we exercise at higher intensities, this isn't true for everyone, but in general, people's pleasure decreases and their displeasure increases. So in a way, exercising, quote unquote, really hard is a recipe for not feeling good, which translates automatically for most people into, guess what?
A chore. Yeah. And you know, to capitalize on what you're saying there, I remember when I had my kids, all three of my kids, and they're 15 and 12 and 10 now. But when I got done having, like, I had the baby, and then I immediately went and started working with a personal trainer who would do all the HIIT training with me for an hour. Mm-hmm. And literally by the end of the session, I was like trying not to throw up. And it was absolutely brutal. And I could manage it at that point in my life. But the idea of doing that now just sounds absolutely horrendous. And so my kids wanted to join the local rec center, you know, and the family membership was cheaper than the individuals. And so I thought, okay, you know, but I put no pressure on myself to work out so many times per week if I got this for them. They like to go play basketball and swim and do activities that are fun for them. And I made the rule for myself that if you go, you just do what you feel like. And I think there's all this pressure of, you know, even my daughter who's 12, she goes, well, mom, you have to do arms one day and then legs this day, you know, and there's a schedule and you have to do it like this. And I thought, I'm never going to stick to this. I need to walk in there. And if I feel like swimming laps, I swim laps that day. If I feel like, you know, playing basketball with my kids, that's what I do. If I feel like just sitting on the elliptical for a full hour, then that's what I do. And I have noticed that I've gone like three times this week, but it's only because I set no expectation for what I have to do once I get there. Mm. It's like, if I want to go sit in the sauna, I'll sit in the sauna. Yes. And I have noticed that it's really helped me.
You know, it's so beautiful, your story. And that is exactly right. If you give yourself permission, there's the P in MAPS, right? If you give yourself permission to do what you feel like doing. Now, let me just say the clinicians might say, but you have to exercise at a certain level to achieve health benefits. And there's a linear relationship with, you know, to some extent, at some point, it's not true anymore, but the more you do or the harder you do, the better it is for like cardiovascular benefits. But the problem is, if no one's going to do that high level, then, and we know that something is better than nothing. Mm-hmm. Why aren't we trying to do that something that actually is going to work for us? Right?
Well, and I think, yeah, so that equates to consistency over perfection, right? Like trying to incorporate activity into your daily life, even if it means parking at the back of the parking lot and walking into the building, you know, mm-hmm. from a further spot or taking the stairs versus the elevator, it all counts. And I think that's why your book was interesting to me, because you're trying to reshape people's perception of what being active looks like, and activity is activity. And so, you know, and I think we have been conditioned to think that it has to look a certain way.
Absolutely. And if we take a huge step back from what you're saying and think about it as self-care, your decision sometimes to go to the rec center and sit in the sauna and maybe do nothing else is a beautiful thing, because you're creating a positive association with the center. You're listening to your body. And we know with food and with movement, we're really listening to our bodies is a really important part of the equation.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to dive into that a little bit more. But before we do, you want to do Boobs in the News?
Let's do Boobs.
Okay. Boobs in the News is a fun segment where we read funny tweets by real people or ridiculous news stories.
Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News. Boobs in the News.
All right. These are tweets.
Okay. I love tweets.
These are funny tweets. These all happen within like the last 16 hours. Okay. Somebody said, my 79-year-old mother just casually told me she got kicked out of an Applebee's last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And I cannot ask enough questions fast enough.
No kidding. Just casually.
That's actually what I'm going to do when I get older. Ken's giving me the evil eye over here. Geez. When I get older, I'm
going to cause ruckus.
I'm going to be Larry David. I'm going to say whatever I feel like, when I feel like it, to anybody I want. That's what's going to happen as I get older. And they'll be like, oh, that Beth, she is so quirky.
Or they're going to steer clear of you.
Yeah, exactly. The words, I need to talk to you, is a sentence that can make you remember every bad thing you've done in your life in about 0.00001 yes, second.
Totally.
I hate it when people say that.
Oh, man. I remember when my stomach would fall when my teacher would be like, I need to talk to you after class. I'd be like,
right.
It was usually like something good, but for some reason.
It was good for you, not for all of us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I need to talk to you evokes a lot of fear.
Yeah.
Especially like when it's you're talking to your husband or they talk, you know, you're like, oh, God, what? The delivery guy absolutely hates it when I call him my I couldn't even read that.
Your what?
The delivery guy absolutely hates it when I call him my pizza mule. So degrading.
I can see why.
So degrading. Know when you meet someone and you feel a strong connection and you can't stop thinking about him, about them. Yeah, well, that's how I feel about rotisserie chicken.
Oh.
I don't know about that.
I mean, when I buy one, it's hard to wait till I get home before I rip into that.
The rotisserie chicken?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I buy when I have no time to cook. But yeah. I feel like it's just like it's chemical chicken.
Chemical chicken?
I just feel like they probably baste the hell out of it because it's so golden brown and it's sitting under those lights. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I don't know. I laugh at my own jokes because I am my target audience. Y'all just happen to be there. I don't like the new trend of old people wearing shirts of bands I listened to when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah. How about the one with young people wearing shirts of bands? And I'm like, do you know any songs by Green Day?
Yeah.
Or do you know any songs by Sublime?
Oh,
and they're like, no, I have no idea.
The other day, my daughter asked me if I knew who the Hot Chili Peppers were. And I'm like, oh, dear Lord. You know what I mean? And my son listens to the quote unquote oldies, and it's all the music that I listen to. We'll end on this one. This guy's, first of all, his profile says his handle is at schmuck on a horse, which I just think is funny. But then he says, apparently there's a limit on the number of times you can say, I'd hit that in a pinata factory.
Hilarious.
I bet he's the most fun person at work.
Uh-huh, yes.
There's your bibs.
Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news. Bibs in the news.
All right, and we're back. What do you think is the most impactful thing you've kind of uncovered in your research? What really lights you on fire in terms of helping people identify the value in exercise as self-care and then what they can do to kind of facilitate it?
Sure. Well, oh gosh. Well, everything lights me on fire. Whenever I discover new things and I never stop learning, which is one of the reasons why I keep doing academic research and I keep working with people, right? Because that's where the rubber hits the road. I can study a theory and, you know, and put it in, research it in different ways. But when I work with a person in real life and they face these real world barriers, that's when we really see what's going on. And so over the years, you know, I would say the biggest ahas. Okay, here's one of the biggest ahas, and we haven't really touched on this directly. When people exercise to benefit their health, I used to think it was a great reason to exercise, right? It's different than weight loss. Like, this is like, I want to be healthier. Like, I thought that was a very intrinsically motivating, deeply profound reason for exercising. But in fact, it is a future logical goal, and research suggests we are not as motivated by those types of goals as we are by immediate things that we're going to experience, like the lifted mood and the higher level of energy. And so that was the biggest aha, that, wow, I shouldn't be connecting exercise to health, despite that being the primary way all of society teaches people to exercise. And helping people make this shift really isn't that hard. I mean, once you, you know, as you know from reading the book, I talk about how to do this. I mean, once you ask people questions that get them to critically reflect on their own experience and whether the reasons they've had have driven lasting motivation and whether the experiences they have exercising have, you know, let them stay the path, that when people say, almost no one says, yes, I stay motivated with these things, because the majority of the population is not regularly physically active. So that discovery was profound for me and shocking.
Which I think people need to hear it over and over again, because we as a society know that we are a people that enjoy instant gratification.
Mm-hmm.
You
yes.
know, when you delay pleasure, when you delay the reward, that works fine for somebody who's incredibly disciplined and he's a bodybuilder and he has a specific goal he wants to meet. Fine. But that's not the majority of us.
That's yeah. right.
And so it's like when you can start, even like when I go to the rec center, it's like, well, I'm only going to go on a one on the treadmill, right? Mm-hmm. I'm not going to do an incline. I'm going to do flat, or I'm going to do one. And I'm going to read my book, because the only way I can read my book is while I'm walking at that mm-hmm. pace. Who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? Right. It's still better than sitting at home on the couch watching the television, right? Yeah. Because now I've paired something pleasurable with like something that I know is doing something for me.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's up to, unfortunately or fortunately, it's up to every person to figure out what's going to work for them. But I can tell you what is true for everyone. You have to throw out, trash, put down the disposal, any definition of quote unquote right exercise in order to open up the possibilities that can work for you.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so interesting, like we've done other episodes and I've read all these different books about different cultures who seem to be healthier than we are. And you know what the differences are? I mean, sometimes it's pretty profound. But like even in like Asian cultures, for example, they sit in chairs way less than we do over here in America. And it's like, you know, just that act of not sitting down all the time is like activity. Right.
That's right.
And it
That's
has right. a tangible impact on their longevity and their health. And it's thinking, I'm sitting there thinking, gosh, you know, if I just stop when I go to my son's cross country meets, instead of sitting in the chair, if I just stand to watch his race, which lasts a whole 20 minutes, mm-hmm. right? Now you've done something different that's better for your body and your mind.
Yeah.
So I applaud your research and your book and just the way that you're helping people reimagine what activity and exercise looks like, because people know that what we're doing isn't working and they're right. frustrated. And there's just so many limitations out there in terms of people guiding people down the path of of a better way. So before we get your final words for those listening, let's hear from our second sponsor.
Thrivent is a proud sponsor of Faith Through Fire. Thrivent believes money is a tool and not a goal. The Gateway Financial Group with Thrivent is local to the St. Louis area and can work with you to create a financial strategy that reflects your priorities and helps you protect the things that matter to you, like family and giving back. Please call 314-783-4214 to schedule a free consultation with one of Thrivent's Gateway Financial Advisors. All right, we are back. I just want to make sure that people rehear the name of your book, where it can be found, and then if there's any research that you're tied to, maybe where they can find that as well.
Sure. The first book is called No Sweat, and we've spent a lot of time talking about some of the big ideas in that book. The other book that we haven't talked about, but you just brought up, but in the conversation, has to do with, before I talk about the research, another topic that I want to make sure we fit in, and that is the idea that when we decide what we're going to do, our plan, quote unquote, or our intention, on any given day, there's always going to be competing goals and conflicts that arise. And one of the ways, again, culture has taught us to approach exercising is you make a plan and you follow through with that plan. But in fact, the very little research that exists on this topic suggests that if, in fact, rather than try to do exactly what you planned, you dynamically, in the moment, improvised, did less, did something, you know, walked with your kids instead, whatever it is, if you change it up and try to just do something, that you're much more likely to stay consistent. And I think that's a really important thing. And again, I, since I'm not looking at you, I'm not sure which one of you made the comment about just doing something is really important. And if people want to learn more about my research on my website, michellesieger.com, I have a link on the menu. I think it's under the About page where people can read about some of my research on this topic.
So I want to be clear, because that sounds like a really interesting topic or a really interesting concept, I guess, is that you're finding that people are more likely to stick with something. It feels like there's fluidity instead of trying to be very rigid with this. Oh, interesting.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I mean, so I'm speaking from the perspective of somebody with ADD, but it's like even though I do well with consistency in terms of a schedule, I don't do well with confined spaces when it comes to like my creativity and how I want to express myself and how I do things within that schedule. So like the idea that I have fluidity in the way that I move, I could maybe have a schedule for exercising, but knowing that whatever I do in that time frame is mine to determine makes
That feels nice, because there are some days it's like, oh, if it's raining outside, I couldn't go for my walk after lunch that I would normally do. But instead, I decide to do like some interpretive dance in my living room, or like, you know, I don't know. Or if like my kids get, you know, home early, it's an early release day. And instead of going to the gym like I would normally do at whatever time, I end up just like playing ball with them. You're right. That does sort of breed more. I mean, also, it gets you out of a rut.
It takes the pressure off. Yeah. How many? I mean, especially as women, we just put all this pressure on ourselves to do it the quote unquote right way.
Yeah.
Like even when you just said, oh, if it's raining outside, and I can't do my normal walk. It's like, you know, my first thought is, what can I replace that with so I feel like I did something? But then it's like, who cares? Like you'll find things throughout your day to do.
Yeah. Well, but let me just propose to you, and this is do you guys know or gals know about Aesop's fable?
Yeah, of course.
Right? The mighty oak and the small flexible reed.
Mm-hmm.
Storm comes in and the mighty oak tries with all of its might to like stay, you know, straight and grounded. And of course the storm just knocks that tree out, you know, dead on the ground. But the reeds that bend with the wind, right? They stay standing when the storm passes. And isn't that the way all of life is? We don't try to parent perfectly. We don't try to do our jobs perfectly, because we know we have to bend with the wind all the time, because there's always going to be something that comes through that is going to change up what we had hoped to do or wanted to do. So what we're talking about with exercise is this like aha, which it is, because that's not how society has taught us. just reflects the greater wisdom that with which we live our greater lives, right?
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. Well, thank you so much for being on. Yeah, thank you for explaining the MAP process, meaning, awareness, permission. Go get No Sweat. Check out her other books, her research, and we appreciate you being on. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time.
See ya.
Thank you for being a listener of the Besties with Breasties podcast. If this podcast had a positive impact on your journey, leave us a review or consider becoming a supporter. You can donate with the link in the show notes or at faiththroughfire.org. This episode was hosted by Sarah Hall and Beth Wilmes, audio and production edits by Innovative Frequencies.